The Memoirs of David Brenner, written by Jonathan Edwards, being read by Peter John Parisis, also known as Brian Dean. More free audiobooks and chapters can be found on www.intheschoolofprayer.com. We're going to be reading this book and breaking up the chapters into sections if they're long. This is Chapter 6, Part 1. From his ordination to the commencement of his labors at Crossley Sung, June 13, 1744. Quote, spent some considerable time in writing an account of the Indian affairs to go to Scotland, some in conversation with friends, but enjoyed not much sweetness and satisfaction. June 14th. Received some particular kindness from friends, and wondered that God should open the hearts of any to treat me with kindness. Saw myself to be unworthy of any favor from God, or any of my fellow men. Was much exercised with pain in my head. However, I determined to set out on my journey towards the Delaware in the afternoon. But when the afternoon came, my pain increased exceedingly, so that I was obliged to betake myself to bed. The night following, I was greatly distressed with pain and sickness, was sometimes almost bereaved of the exercise of reason by the extremity of pain. Continued much distress till Saturday, when I was somewhat relieved by an arrhythmic, but was unable to walk abroad till the Monday following in the afternoon, and still remained very feeble. I often admired the goodness of God that he did not suffer me to proceed on my journey from this place, where I was so tenderly used, and to be sick by the way among strangers. God is very gracious to me, both in health and sickness, and intermingles much mercy with all my afflictions and toils. Enjoyed some sweetness and things divine in the midst of my pain and weakness. Oh, that I could praise the Lord. On Tuesday, June 19th. He set out on his journey home, and in 3 days reached his residence near the forts of Delaware. Performed the journey under much weakness of body, but had comfort in his soul from day to day. And both his weakness of body and consolation of mind continued through the day. Quote, Lord's Day, June 24th. Extremely feeble. Scarce able to walk, however, visited my Indians and took much pains to instruct them, labored with some that were much disaffected to Christianity. My mind was much burdened with the weight and difficulty of my work. My whole dependency and hope of success seemed to be on God, who alone I saw could make them willing to receive instruction. My heart was much engaged in prayer, sending up silent requests to God, even while I was speaking to them. Oh, that I could always go in the strength of the Lord. June 25th. Was somewhat better in health than of late, and was able to spend a considerable part of the day in prayer and close study. Had more freedom and fervency in prayer than usual of late, especially longed for the presence of God in my work, and that the poor heathen might be converted. And in evening prayer my faith and hope in God were much raised. To an eye of reason everything that respects the conversion of the heathen is as dark as midnight, and yet I cannot but hope in God for the accomplishment of something glorious among them. My soul longed much for the advancement of the Redeemer's kingdom on earth, was very fearful lest I should admit some vain thought, and so there's the sense that I then had divine things. Oh, for an abiding heavenly temper. June 26th. In the morning my desire seemed to rise and ascend up freely to God. I was busy most of the day in translating prayers into the language of the Delaware Indians, met with great difficulty because my interpreter was altogether unacquainted with the business. But though I was much discouraged with the extreme difficulty of that work, yet God supported me, and especially in the evening gave me sweet refreshment. In prayer my soul was enlarged and my faith drawn into sensible exercise. Wasn't able to cry to God for my poor Indians, and though the work of their conversion appeared impossible with man, yet with God I saw all things were possible. My faith was much strengthened by observing the wonderful assistance God afforded his servants Nehemiah, and Ezra, and reforming his people and reestablishing his ancient church. I was much assisted in prayer for my dear Christian friends and for others whom I apprehended to be Christless, but was more especially concerned for the poor heathen and those of my own charge. Wasn't able to be instant in prayer for them and hoped that God would bow the heavens and come down for their salvation. It seemed to me that there could be no impediment sufficient to obstruct that glorious work seen the living God, as I strongly hoped was engaged for it. I continued in a solemn frame, lifting up my heart to God for assistance and grace, that I might be more mortified to this present world, that my whole soul might be taken up continually in concern for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, especially desired that God would purge me more, that I might be as a chosen vessel to bear his name among the heathens. Continued in this frame till I fell asleep. June 27th. Felt something of the same solemn concern and spirit of prayer which I enjoyed last night, soon after I rose in the morning. In the afternoon, rode several miles to see if I could procure any lands for the poor Indians, that they might live together and be under better advantages for instruction. While I was writing, had a deep sense of the greatness and difficulty of my work, and my soul seemed to really wholly rely upon God for success in the diligence and faithful use of means. Saw with the great certainty that the arm of the Lord must be revealed for the help of these poor heathens if ever they were delivered from the bondage of the powers of darkness. Spent most of the time while writing and lifting up my heart for grace and assistance. June 28th, spent the morning in reading several parts of the Holy Scripture and in fervent prayer for my Indians that God would set up his kingdom among them and bring them into his church. About 9, I withdrew to my usual place of retirement in the woods, and there again enjoyed some assistance in prayer. My great concern was for the conversion of the heathen to God, and the Lord helped me to plead with him for it. Towards noon, rode up to the Indians in order to preach to them, and while going, my heart went up to God in prayer for them. Could freely tell God, he knew, that the cause in which I was engaged was not mine, but that it was his own cause and that it would be for his own glory to convert the poor Indians. And blessed be God, I felt no desire of their conversion, that I might receive honor from the world as being the instrument of it, had some freedom in speaking to the Indians. Unquote. The next day he speaks of some serious concern for the kingdom of the blessed Redeemer, but complains much of barrenness, wandering, inactivity, etc. Quote, June 30th, my soul was very solemn in reading God's word, especially the 9th chapter of Daniel. I saw how God had called out his servants to pray and made them wrestle with him when he designed to bestow any great mercy on his church. Alas, I was ashamed of myself to think of my dullness and inactivity when there seemed to be so much to do for the upbuilding of Zion. Oh, how does Zion lay waste? I long that the church of God might be enlarged. Wasn't able to pray, I think, in faith, and so seemed insensible to confide in God, and was unable to wrestle with him. Afterwards, walked abroad to a place of sweet retirement, enjoyed some assistance in prayer, had a sense of my great need of divine help, and felt my soul sensibly dependent on God. Blessed be God that has been a comfortable week to me. Lord's Day, July 1st. In the morning was perplexed with wondering vain thoughts, was much grieved, judged, and condemned myself before God. Oh, how miserable did I feel, because I could not live to God. At 10, rode away with a heavy heart to preach to my Indians. Upon the road, I attempted to lift up my heart to God, but was infested with an unsettled, wondering frame of mind, and was exceeding restless and perplexed, and filled with shame and confusion before God. I seemed to myself to be, quote, more brutish than any man, unquote, and thought none deserved to be, quote, cast out of God's presence, unquote, so much as I. If I attempted to lift up my heart to God, as I frequently did, by the way, on a sudden, before I was aware, my thoughts were wandering, quote, to the ends of the earth, unquote, and my soul was filled with surprise and anxiety to find it thus. Thus also, after I came to the Indians, my mind was confused, and I felt nothing sensibly of that sweet reliance in God with which my soul has been comforted in days past. spent the forenoon in this posture of mind and preached to the Indians without any heart. In the afternoon, I felt still barren when I began to preach, and for about half an hour, I seemed to myself to know nothing and to have nothing to say to the Indians, but soon after, I found in myself a spirit of love and warmth and power to address the poor Indians. And God helped me to plead with them to turn from all the vanities of the heathen to the living God. I am persuaded that the Lord touched their consciousness, for I never saw such attention rise in them. When I came away from them, I spent the whole time while I was riding to my lodgings, 3 miles distant, in prayer and praise to God. After I had rode more than 2 miles, it came into my mind to dedicate myself to God again, which I did with great solemnity and unspeakable satisfaction, especially gave up myself to Him, renewedly in the work of the ministry. This I did by divine grace, I hope, without any exception or reserve, not in the least shrinking back from any difficulties that might attend this great and blessed work. I seem to be most free, cheerful, and full in this dedication of myself. My whole soul cried, Lord, to Thee I dedicate myself. O accept of me, and let me be Thine forever. Lord, I desire nothing else. I desire nothing more. O come, come, Lord, accept a poor worm. Whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. After this, I was enabled to praise God with my whole soul, that He had enabled me to devote and consecrate all my powers to Him in this solemn manner. My work rejoiced in my particular work as a missionary, rejoiced in my necessity of self-denial in many respects, and still continued to give up myself to God and employ mercy to Him, praying incessantly every moment with sweet fervency. My nature being very weak of legs and very spent was now considerably overcome. My fingers grew very feeble and somewhat numb, so that I could scarcely stretch them out straight, and when I alighted from my horse, could hardly walk. My joints seemed all to be loosened. But I felt abundant strength in the inner man. Preached to the white people. God helped me much, especially in prayer. Sundry of my poor Indians were so moved as to come to meeting also, and one appeared much concerned. July 2nd. I had some relish of the divine comforts of yesterday, but could not get that warmth and exercise of faith which I desired. Had sometimes a distressing sense of my past follies and present ignorance and barrenness, and especially in the afternoon was sunk down under a load of sin and guilt, in that I had lived so little to God after His abundant goodness to me yesterday. In the evening, though very weak, was unable to pray with fervency and to continue instant in prayer near an hour. My soul mourned over the power of its corruption, longed exceedingly to be washed and purged as with hyssop. Was unable to pray for my dear absent friends, Christ's ministers and His church, and enjoyed much freedom and fervency, but not so much comfort by reason of guilt and shame before God, judged and condemned myself for the follies of the day. July 3rd was still very weak. This morning was unable to pray under a feeling sense of my need of help from God, and I trust had some faith and exercise, and blessed be God, was unable to plead with Him a considerable time. Truly God is good to me, but my soul mourned and was grieved at my sinful and barrenness and longed to be more engaged for God. Near 9 withdrew again for prayer, and through divine goodness had the blessed spirit of prayer. My soul loved the duty and longed for God in it. Oh, it is sweet to be the Lord's, to be sensibly devoted to Him. What a blessed portion is God, how glorious, how lovely in Himself. O my soul, long to improve and holy for God. Spent most of the day in translating prayers into Indian. In the evening was enabled again to wrestle with God in prayer for fervency. Was enabled to maintain self-defiant and watchful frame of spirit in the evening, and was jealous and afraid lest I should admit carelessness and self-confidence, unquote. The next day he seems to have had special assistance and fervency most of the day, but in a less degree than in the preceding day. Tuesday was spent in great bodily weakness, yet seems to have been spent in continual distress and great bitterness of spirit, in consequence of his vileness and corruption. He says, quote, I thought that there was not one creature living so vile as I. Oh, my inward pollution. Oh, my guilt and shame before God. I know not what to do. Oh, I longed ardently to be cleansed and washed from the stains of inward pollution. Oh, to be made like God, or rather to be made fit for God to own, unquote. Quote, July 6th. I woke this morning in the fear of God, soon called to mind my sadness in the evening past, and spent my first waking minutes in prayer for sanctification, that my soul may be washed from its exceeding pollution and defilement. After I arose, I spent some time in reading God's word and in prayer. I cried to God under a sense of my great indigency. I am of late most of all concerned for ministerial qualifications and for the conversion of the heathen. Last year I longed to be prepared for a world of glory and speedily to depart out of this world. But of late all my concerns almost is for the conversion of the heathen. And for that end I long to live. But blessed be God, I have less desire to live for any of the pleasures of the world than I ever had. I long and love to be a pilgrim, and I want grace to imitate the life, labors, and sufferings of St. Paul among the heathen. And when I long for holiness now, it is not so much for myself as for my, but rather that thereby I may become an, quote, able minister of the New Testament, unquote, especially to the heathen. Spent about 2 hours this morning reading in prayer by turns, and was in a watchful, tender frame, afraid of everything that might cool my affections and draw away my heart from God. Was a little strengthened in my studies, but near night was very weak and weary. July 7th. Was very much disordered this morning, and my vigor all spent and exhausted. But was affected and refreshed in the reading of the sweet story of Elijah's translation, and enjoyed some affection and fervency in prayer. Longed much for ministerial gifts and graces, that I might do something in the cause of God. Afterwards was refreshed and invigorated while reading Elaine's first case of conscience, etc., and enabled them to pray with some ardor of soul, and was afraid of carelessness and self-confidence, and longed for holiness. Footnote, the author is spelled A-L-L-E-I-N-E, the name of the book, Case of Conscience, end of footnote. Lord's Day, July 8th, was ill last night, not able to rest quietly, had some small degree of assistance in preaching to the Indians, and afterwards was unable to preach to the white people with some power, especially in the close of my discourse from Jeremiah 3:23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, etc. The Lord also assisted me in some measure in the first prayer, blessed be his name. Near night, though very weary, was unable to read God's word with some sweet relish of it, and to pray with affection, fervency, and I trust with faith. My soul was more sensibly dependent on God than usual, was watchful, tender, and jealous of my own heart, lest I should admit carelessness and vain thoughts, and grieve the blessed Spirit, so that he should depart and withdraw his sweet, kind, and tender influences. Long to, quote, depart and be with Christ, unquote, more than at any other time of late. My soul was exceedingly united to the saints of ancient times, as well as those now living. Especially my soul melted for the society of Elijah and Elisha, was unable to cry to God with a childlike spirit and to commune instant in prayer for some time, was much enlarged in the sweet duty of intercession, was unable to remember great numbers of dear friends and precious souls, as well as Christ's ministers, continued in his frame, afraid of every idle thought, till I dropped asleep. July 9th, was under much illness of body most of the day, and not able to sit up the whole day. Towards night, felt a little better, then spent some time in reading God's word and prayer. Enjoyed some degree of fervency and affection. Was unable to plead with God for his cause and kingdom, and through divine goodness it was apparent to me that it was his case. I pleaded not for my own, and was unable to make this an argument with God to answer my request. July 10th, was very ill and full of pain, and very dull and spiritless. In the evening had an affecting sense of my ignorancy and of my need of God at all times to do everything for me, and my soul was humbled before God. July the 11th, was still exercised with illness and pain, had some degree of affection and warmth in prayer and reading God's word, longed for Abraham's faith and fellowship with God, and felt some resolution to spend all my time for God and to exert myself with more fervency in His service, but found my body weak and feeble. In the afternoon, though very ill, was enabled to spend some considerable time in prayer, spent indeed most of the day in that exercise, and my soul was defiant, watchful, and tender, lest I should offend my blessed friend in thought or behavior. I am persuaded that my soul confide in and lean upon the blessed God. Oh, what need did I see myself to stand in of God at all times, to assist me and lead me, found a great want of strength and vigor, both in the outward and inward man, unquote. The exercises and experiences of which he speaks in the next 9 days are very similar to those of the preceding days of this and the foregoing week, a sense of his own weakness, ignorance, unprofitableness, and vileness, loathing and abhorring himself, self-defiance, sense of the greatness of his work, of his great need of divine help, and the extreme danger of self-confidence, longing for holiness and humility, to be fitted for his work, and to live to God, and for the conversion of the Indians, and these things to a very great degree. Quote, July 21st, this morning, I was greatly oppressed with guilt and shame, from a sense of inward vileness and pollution. About 9, went through to the woods for prayer, but had not much comfort. I appeared to myself the vilest, meanest creature upon earth, and could scarcely live with myself. So mean and vile I appeared that I thought I should never be able to hold up my face in heaven if God of His infinite grace should bring me thither. Towards night, my burden respecting my work among the Indians began to increase much, and was aggravated by hearing sundry things which looked very discouraging, in particular that they intended to meet together the next day for an idolatrous feast and dance. Then I began to be in anguish. I thought that I must in conscience go and endeavor to break them up, yet knew not how to attempt such a thing. However, I withdrew for prayer, hoping for strength from above. In prayer I was exceedingly enlarged, and my soul was as much drawn out as I ever remembered it to have been in my life. I was in such anguish and pleaded with so much earnestness and importunity that when I rose from my knees, I felt extremely weak and overcome. I could scarcely walk straight. My joints were loosed. The sweat ran down my face and body, and nature seemed as if it would dissolve. So far as I could judge, I was wholly free from selfish ends in my fever and supplications for the poor Indians. I knew that they were met together to worship devils and not God, and this made me cry earnestly that God would now appear and help me in my attempts to break up this idolatrous meeting. My soul pleaded long, and I thought that God would hear and would go with me to vindicate His own cause. I seemed to confide in God for His presence and assistance, and thus I spent the evening praying incessantly for divine assistance, that I might not be self-dependent, but still have my whole dependency upon God. What I passed through was remarkable, and indeed inexpressible. All things here below vanquished, and there appeared to be nothing of any considerable importance to me, but holiness of heart and life, the conversion of the heathen to God, all my cares, fears, and desires, which might be said to be of a worldly nature, disappeared, and were, in my esteem, of little more importance than a puff of wind. I exceedingly longed that God would get to Himself a name among the heathen, and I appealed to Him with the greatest freedom, that I knew I, quote, preferred Him above my chief joy, unquote. Indeed, I had no notion of joy from this world. I cared not where or how I lived, or what hardships I went through, so that I could but gain souls to Christ. I continued in this frame all the evening and night. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things, and when I awaked, as I frequently did, and the first thing I thought of was this great work of pleading for God against Satan. Lord's Day, July 22nd. When I awaked, my soul was burdened with what seemed to be before me. I cried to God before I could get out of my bed, and as soon as I was dressed, I withdrew into the woods to pour out my burdened soul to God, especially for assistance in my great work, for I could scarcely think of anything else. I enjoyed the same freedom and vibrancy as the last evening, and did, with unspeakable freedom, give up myself afresh to God, for life or death, for all hardships, He should call me to among the heathen, and felt as if nothing could discourage me from this blessed work. I had a strong hope that God would, quote, bow the heavens and come down, unquote, and do some marvelous work among the Indians. While I was riding to the Indians, 3 miles, my heart was continually going up to God for His presence and assistance, and hoping and almost expecting that God would make this the day of His power and grace amongst the poor Indians. When I came to them, I found them engaged in a frolic, but through divine goodness I persuaded them to desist and attend to my preaching. Yet still there appeared nothing of the special power of God among them. Preached again to them in the afternoon, and observed the Indians were more sober than before, but still saw nothing special among them. Hence Satan took occasion to tempt and buffet me with these cursed suggestions. There is no God, and if there be, He is not able to divert the Indians before they have more knowledge, etc. I am very weak and weary, and my soul bore down with perplexing, but was mortified to all the world, and was determined still to await upon God for the conversion of the heathen, though the devil tempted me to the contrary. July 23rd. Retained still a deep and pressing sense of what lay with so much weight upon me yesterday, but it was more calm and quiet, enjoyed freedom and composure. After the temptations of the last evening, had sweet resignation to the divine will, and desired nothing so much as the conversion of the heathen to God, and that His kingdom might come in my own heart and the hearts of others. Rode to a settlement of Irish people about 15 miles southwestward. Spent my time in prayer and meditation by the way. Near night, preached from Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. God was pleased to afford me some degree of freedom and fervency. Blessed be God for any measure of assistance. The next day, November 5th, he concluded the following letter to Reverend Mr. Pemberton of New York, giving an account of his labors and success, both at Kwanayumik and at the forts of Delaware, to the Reverend Ebenezer Pemberton, Forts of Delaware, November 5th, 1744. Quote, Reverend Sir, since you are pleased to require of me some brief and general account of my conduct and the affair of my mission among the Indians, the pains and endeavors I have used to propagate Christian knowledge among them, the difficulties I have met with in pursuance of that great work, and the hopeful and encouraging appearances I have observed in any of them, I shall now endeavor to answer your demands by giving a brief but faithful account of the most material things relating to that important affair with which I have been and am still concerned. This I shall do with more freedom and cheerfulness, both because I apprehend it will be a likely means of giving pious persons who are concerned for the kingdom of Christ some just apprehensions of the many and great difficulties that attend the propagation of it among the poor pagans, and consequently, it is hoped, will engage their more frequent and fervent prayers of God, that those may be succeeded who are employed in this arduous work. Besides, I persuade myself that the tidings of the gospel spreading among the poor heathen will be, to those who are waiting for the accomplishment of the, quote, glorious things spoken of the city of our God, unquote, as, quote, good news from a far country, unquote, and that these will be so far from, quote, despising the day of small things, unquote, that on the contrary, the least drawn of encouragement and hope in this important affair will rather inspire their pious breasts with more generous and warm desires, that, quote, the kingdoms of the world may speedily become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, unquote. I shall therefore immediately proceed to the business before me, and briefly touch upon the most important matters that have concerned my mission, from the beginning to this present time. On March 15, 1743, I waited on the correspondence for the Indian Mission at New York, and on the week following, attended their meeting at Woodbridge in New Jersey, and was speedily dismissed by them with orders to attempt the instruction of a number of Indians in a place some miles distant from the city of Albany. And on the first day of April following, I arrived among the Indians at a place called by them Kinayumik in the county of Albany, nearly 20 miles distant from the city eastward. The place, as to its situation, was sufficiently lonesome and unpleasant, being encompassed with mountains and woods, 20 miles distant from any English inhabitants, 6 or 7 from any Dutch, and more than 2 from a family that came some time since from the highlands of Scotland and had then lived, as I remembered, about 2 years in this wilderness. In this family I lodged about the space of 3 months, the master of it being the only person with whom I could readily converse in those parts, except my interpreter, others understanding very little English. After I had spent about 3 months in this situation, I found my distance from the Indians a very great disadvantage to my work among them, and very burdensome to myself, as I was obliged to travel forward and backwards almost daily on foot, having no pasture in which I could keep my horse for that purpose, and after all my pains, could not be with the Indians in the evening and morning, which were usually the best hours to find them at home, and when they could best attend my instructions. I therefore resolved to remove and live with or near the Indians, that I might watch all opportunities when they were generally at home, and take the advantage of such seasons for their instructions. Accordingly, I removed soon after, and for some time lived with them in one of their wigwams, and not long after built me a small house where I spent the remainder of that year entirely alone, my interpreter, who was an Indian, choosing rather to live in a wigwam among his own countrymen. This way of living I found attended with many difficulties and uncomfortable circumstances, in a place where I could get none of the necessities and common comforts of life, no, not so much as a morsel of bread, but what I brought from places 15 and 20 miles distance, and oft times was obliged for some time together to content myself without for want of an opportunity to procure the things I needed. But although the difficulties of this solitary way of living are not the least or most inconsiderable, and doubtless are, in fact, many more and greater to these who experience than they can readily appear to those who only view them at a distance, yet I can truly say that the burden I felt respecting my great work among the poor Indians, the fear and concern that continually hung upon my spirit lest they should be prejudiced against Christianity, and their minds embittered against me and my labors among them by means of the insinuations of some who, although they are called Christians, seem to have no concern for Christ's kingdom, but had rather, as their conduct plainly discovers, that the Indians should remain heathens, that they may with the more ease cheat and so enrich themselves by them, were much more pressing to me than all the difficulties that attended the circumstances of my living. As to the state or temper of mind in which I found these Indians at my first coming among them, I may justly say it was much more desirable and encouraging than what appears among those who are altogether uncultivated. Their heathenish jealousies and suspicion and their prejudices against Christianity were in a great measure removed by the long-continued labors of the Reverend Mr. Sargent among a number of the same tribe, in a place little more than 20 miles distant. Hence, these were, in some good degree, prepared to entertain the truths of Christianity, instead of objecting against them and appearing almost entirely untrackable, as is common with them at first, and as, perhaps, these appeared a few years ago. Some of them, at least, appeared very well disposed towards religion and seemed much pleased with my coming among them. In my labors with them, in order to, quote, turn them from darkness to light, unquote, I studied what was most plain and easy and best suited in their capacities, and endeavored to set before them from time to time, as they were able to receive them, the most important and necessary truths of Christianity, such as most immediately concern their speedy conversion to God, and such as I judge had the greatest tendency, as means, to effect that glorious change in them. But especially I made it the scope and drift of all my labors to lead them into a thorough acquaintance with these two things. First, the sinfulness and misery of the estate they were naturally in, the evil of their hearts, the pollution of their natures, the heavy guilt they were under, and their exposedness to everlasting punishment, as also their utter inability to save themselves, either from their sins or from those miseries which are the just punishment of them, and their unworthiness of any mercy at the hand of God, on account of anything they themselves could do to procure his favor, and consequently their extreme need of Christ to save them. And secondly, I frequently endeavor to open to them the fullness, all sufficiency, and freeness of the redemption which the Son of God has wrought out by his obedience and sufferings for perishing sinners, how this provision he has made was suited to all their wants, and how he called and invited them to accept an everlasting life freely, notwithstanding all the sinfulness, inability, unworthiness, etc. After I had been with the Indians several months, I composed sundry forms of prayer, adapted to the circumstances and capacities, which, with the help of my interpreter, I translated into the English language, and soon learned to pronunciate their words, so as to pray with them in their own tongue. I also translated sundry psalms into their language, and soon after we were able to sing in the worship of God. When my people had gained some acquaintance with many of the truths of Christianity, so that they were capable of receiving and understanding many others, which at first could not be taught them by reason of their ignorance of those that were necessary to be previously known, and upon which others depended, I then gave them an historical account of God's dealing with his ancient professing people, the Jews, some of the rites and ceremonies they were obliged to observe as their sacrifices, etc., and what these were designed to represent to them, as also some of the surprising miracles God wrought for their salvation while they trusted in him, and sore punishments he sometimes brought upon them when they forsook and sinned against him. Afterwards, I proceeded to give them a relation of the birth, life, miracles, sufferings, death, and resurrection of Christ, as well as his ascension, and the wonderful infusion of the Holy Spirit consequent thereupon. And having thus endeavored to prepare the way by such a general account of things, I next proceeded to read and expound to them the Gospel of St. Matthew, at least the substance of it in course, wherein they had a more distinct and particular view of what they had before some general notion. These expositions I attended almost every evening when there was any considerable number of them at home, except when I was obliged to be absent myself in order to learn the Indian language with the Reverend Mr. Sargent. Besides these means of instruction, there was likewise an English school constantly kept by my interpreter among the Indians, which I used frequently to visit in order to give the children and young people some proper instructions and serious exhortations suited to their age.